Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman. And also now, Steve Jordahl, reporter for One News Now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, sirs.
Or good afternoon,
good afternoon.
If you are in the Eastern time zone.
That's right.
Some of our listeners.
Hope you're having a good lunch. There. What's for lunch, by the way? I'm getting kind of hungry.
Talking about me?
No, I'm talking about the East Coast. I want to know what's for lunch over on the East Coast.
I have no idea. I know what I'm having for lunch, but...
What are you having for lunch?
I'm having a leftover, half a sub that my wife had last night. I'm getting the rest of it today.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. So, it's not going to be my best day ever, leftover sub. Few chips.
Yeah.
Diet Coke.
You sound disappointed.
Listen, food is very big to me. You probably can't tell by looking at me, but this is kind of a disappointment. I got to tell you, this is my wife usually has some really good stuff. She cooks; she's an excellent cook.
And trouble in the Vitagliano household here.
Well, it's not trouble. I mean, it could be if I put my foot down.
Hey, there's always tomorrow, Ed.
There's always tomorrow.
That's right. My dad would say, "This isn't your last meal ever."
Yeah. Well, and it's a first world problem, right?
That's right.
That's why I remind myself of that constantly. First world problem. All right, so you got a half a leftover sub. Big deal. At least you get some calories today. So, anyway, all right, Steve, what do we got going on? Because from where I sit, this is a boring day. Absolutely nothing happening.
Yeah, I know, nothing. Well, let me just put a period and exclamation point on what you were talking about last hour about the incivility in the discourse that we're having, the anger that's going on. A Democrat congressman, his name is Mark Paken, he's from Wisconsin, has introduced a bill to abolish the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Bureau. Calls it heartless. This is his quote. "Unfortunately, President Trump and his team of white nationalists, including Stephen Miller, have so misused ICE that the agency can no longer accomplish its goals effectively. The heartless action of this abused agency do not represent the values of our nation, and the U.S. must develop a more humane immigration system, one that treats every person with dignity and respect."
The Democrats just need to start the open borders party.
Well, that's if you're getting rid of ICE.
That's got no chance.
If you're getting rid of ICE, must be what you're advocating for.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of folks, that's grandstanding. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of people in the Democratic Party, likely voters, who would second that. But it's got no chance in Congress.
Yeah, and to defend our ICE agents and our Border Patrol agents, they are some of the most humane folks who serve our country, along with law enforcement and military. Look, with our tax dollars, our government provides food, shelter for the children. They provide education, child care. I mean, we provide with all the basic needs for folks who enter our country illegally. While they're here, before they're deported, we provide them with all of that and more, clothing. So, and they're handled, they're given constitutional rights, even though they're non-citizens. So we handle them with the most, I mean, I don't know what else you can do other than not enforcing our laws, what more humanely you can do to folks who cross our border illegally.
And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
In terms of the left, what they really want is open borders.
Yeah, no law enforcement.
No law enforcement at all down there. And,
right.
And here's the thing. What you just described is absolutely accurate in terms of those who are serving this country down on the border, ICE agents included. But what those on the left want is to take that, what the United States provides for people who are sneaking into the country, is to extend that good-natured and caring response, extend it over their whole lives. Let them in. Let them have access to everything that the taxpayers are paying for in this country,
without
any limits.
Right.
Not only for the individuals who make it here, but all the others in the future who might want to come.
Yeah, which is an open borders policy.
All right, Steve.
What's some good news?
Listen, I'm I'm dying for some good news, like I'm dying for a good lunch today.
While the right hand of the Trump administration is doing all these public things at the border and there's a whole discussion, the left hand is following up on promises that it made. In a series of service-wide memoranda approved by Army Secretary Mark Esper and Chief of Staff General Mark Milley, and obtained by the Washington Times, this Washington Times is breaking this, service leaders are making optional, previously mandatory training on issues like transgender transition and drug abuse. The move is designed to relieve stress on the overburdened troop training regimen and refocus the soldiers' ability to fight in combat. So whereas this petri dish of social experimentation was pushed down by the Obama administration and the Army, they're lifting all of those requirements. They're not lifting the service of gay or transgender troops. They're not going that far, but they're saying, let's focus on fighting instead of these mandatory trainings on
trans. This is a shocker. So instead of spending hours in diversity training classes, they're getting weapons training and maybe
combat
training and tactical. Boy, this is a shocker. Is that what the military is supposed to do?
I don't know.
Kill people and break things?
No, the military is supposed to be a welcoming place for a safe space.
The
military is a safe space, which is really the ultimate oxymoron, right?
That is good news. Yeah. And we were talking about this during the break. Just as we mentioned yesterday that had Hillary Clinton won the presidency, these 5-4 decisions at the Supreme Court would have been 5-4 against conservatives, religious liberty, all those kinds of free speech.
Most likely maybe 6-3, because who knows where Kennedy would have landed.
Right. A policy like this would have simply been continued and probably expanded. I'm talking about the mandatory diversity training in the military, and our military would have become even more weary and less well-trained.
Yeah. So it is good news. It's kind of under the radar news, but... Good stuff.
That is good news, and I tell you, that's going to help me as I'm eating my soggy sandwich.
Well, are you going to go to Starbucks to supplement your soggy sandwich?
I do not drink coffee, sir. It's against my religion.
Well, they have hot chocolate, and they have other stuff there.
I drink Diet Coke.
Okay.
God intended us.
Starbucks has announced that it plans to provide transgender employees with comprehensive health care coverage, including paying for their procedures of transition. It will now cover surgeries, facial feminization, and hair transplant for baristas.
Facial feminization. What is that?
Look at this face and imagine it as a woman. That kind of gross you out.
I can't.
I know, but if you did certain surgery on me and maybe made my cheekbones higher and my nose different and everything.
I got to say that. First of all, I am happy for Starbucks because their lunatic policies are going to cost them even more money.
Yeah.
All right? And the sooner... You know, I know we got listeners who might like Starbucks, okay? But they'll close even more stores because of this kind of thing, all right? But that's heartbreaking, what you just said. I'm just going to say, I do not hate transgender people.
Right.
These are people who are broken inside, and they are hurting, and they obviously see something in the mirror that is not real. And it's just heartbreaking to think that they're going to go through these kinds of surgeries, let alone, Walker, the other surgeries. Yeah. Where they're amputating and carving up the human body, but now they do this kind of stuff on their faces too.
Yeah.
You ever see these pictures of celebrities who have had work done, that cosmetic surgery that's gone wrong?
Oh, yeah.
And they look bizarre. My heart goes out to these people.
Yeah.
And now my heart goes out to these transgender people. This is not going to end well for some of them. And if they get their minds straight or they get help or whatever, they're still going to have the physical consequences of this kind of activity. That breaks my heart, man.
Long term, Starbucks will regret this, just like many other decisions. But yeah, you're right. What the media doesn't cover is the regret stories, which is the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
The vast majority of folks who undergo some kind of transformative surgery, which maims their body. It's not how God designed them. Years later, they may not say it publicly, but inside, they struggle with suicide and they struggle with regret. Even Bruce Jenner, that some call Caitlyn Jenner, has said he's hinted towards that he either might go back to his natural biology or he regrets what he did.
And he hasn't had any surgery as far as the public knows, right? I mean,
I'm not sure.
I'm talking about.
I know for sure he dresses
permanent surgery.
Yeah, maybe some.
I'm trying to be delicate.
He's not maimed his body beyond recognition.
Yeah, but even he has signaled regret in his decision.
Right. I would say though, if you are a coffee drinker and you're not Ed, but if you're a coffee drinker out there and you would like to not support this kind of stuff, to my knowledge, American Family Association. And you can get their coffee at the AFA store. And to my knowledge, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but AFA is not close to having a transgender transition policy.
Oh, no, we have one. We just don't support it. we have a policy.
No, but I mean, you're not going to start paying for these. If someone buys AFA coffee, they're not going to be contributing to the mutilation of somebody, right?
That is true.
Okay,
and
good.
Let me just say,
put it out there.
Since you brought this up,
yes.
AFAstore.net. You can buy American Family Coffee, and that helps.
It's good coffee.
That helps Christian farmers, and I guess you call them farmers.
Yeah.
And so that is a good plug. My understanding is it's good coffee, right?
It is. I don't
drink coffee, but everyone around here loves it.
Yep.
And they've got all kinds of weird flavors, blueberry this and Harmony that.
I don't drink a lot of coffee. I do drink some, and I've had that, and it is good coffee. And we do question your dedication to AFA by not drinking the coffee.
Well, I will say this, because I've been challenged by my wife, who loves coffee. I've been challenged by others around here. I did go through about a month experiment, because prior to that experiment, I'd only had two tastes of coffee my whole life.
Wow.
I hated it. I have now, AFA coffee has moved me from the I hate coffee to, hey, it's not bad.
There you go.
So that's something.
Yeah. That is. That's
and,
good.
And I just, you know, just, I'm not ready to give up Diet Coke. So let's move on.
Okay.
Nobody cares about me. So go ahead.
On the pro-life front, we have an abortionist. His name is Robert Roe. And last month he pleaded guilty to criminal negligent homicide for causing the death of a woman named Jamie Morales during a botched late-term abortion. Well, he was sentenced yesterday to 15 months to 4 years in state prison for the death of Ms. Morales when he botched the abortion.
Mm.
So Operation Rescue, Cheryl Solinger reporting on this, and that's kind of, I don't know if you call it good news, but it's justice for...
Right. Any idea, anything in the story that tells how often these kinds of deaths occur? It's not infrequent. I don't know how frequent it is, but these kinds of things do happen.
They do, and this article doesn't give the statistics. I know that every month we hear about something from a group like Operation Rescue, maybe not quite that often, but given... late-term abortions aren't quite as common as the other types.
Right.
It's just a dangerous procedure.
It is, and sometimes they're done.
Lethal, in fact, for the child.
Yes, absolutely.
And this goes to the point, you know, abortion altogether is wrong, and we can all agree on that as Christians. But to a step farther, to try to regulate all we can this is some of these laws that these states have passed, which require abortion clinics to have admitting privileges to local hospitals. And this is a prime example, and this is not, as Ed mentioned, it's not a rare occurrence. I mean, it happens. I'm not going to act like it happens all the time because it doesn't. But women are harmed physically, medically, in these procedures at times. And these laws, it's common sense that if you're going to do an outpatient, I don't know if this is abortion is outpatient or not, but you need to have admitting privileges.
I think
privileges.
They are. I think they're outpatient.
Yeah.
And the reason you want the admitting privileges, if some of these... procedures are, you know, you've got sharp instruments.
Yeah.
You perforate, the uterus or something like that. You've got to be able to get that bleeding woman into a hospital. So that's the demand for admitting privileges. There is also the emotional damage that is done to women after abortion and men who encourage it and demand that the woman gets an abortion. They also later on in life sometimes have huge regrets depression, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So,
in this particular case, the Mr. Abortionist Roe perforated all the body parts down where the baby was, and instead of calling an ambulance for his hemorrhaging patient, he sewed her up to conceal the internal bleeding. Despite her drifting in and out of consciousness due to blood loss, Roe released Morales from his abortion facility. She died hours later.
Oh, my God.
That's awful.
In other kind of good news, there's a movie that was being made. It was being crowdfunded.
Now explain that for some of our listeners who don't know what crowdfunding is.
They went online to raise money for this movie. The movie is called Gosnell, and it's about Kermit Gosnell, who had this House of Horrors in Philadelphia, you may remember. And, it's called Gosnell, the Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. And it's going to open on as many as 750 theaters in October. And it is a movie critical of Gosnell. It's starring Dean Cain, who is former
Superman television.
Yes, star. And done a number of faith-based things as well.
Is he a Christian?
I think so. This is going to come out. They've found the money, and they've raised $2.3 million on Indiegogo. Is the platform they used, and it's going to be out. So this is another expose of the abortion industry, I think, that is going to open some eyes.
You know, I'm encouraged. We still have Roe v. Wade, and who knows, in my lifetime it may be overturned. Mm-hmm. But it seems the best route is information, is these information campaigns, the ultrasounds. I mean, all this, I think it's informing the population that abortion is wrong. It's the killing of an innocent child, and I think it's leading – these new generations away from abortion, surely but slowly, and that movie is going to be a prime example.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, that is good news, and so this is so they crowdfunded it and they have produced it, and it is going to be out in theaters. Is it going to be a theatrical release?
Yep.
When?
October.
October. Well, yeah. All right.
So something to look forward to in the fall.
Okay.
although
that's going to be a horrifying subject.
Well, it's not something you're going to take your kids to or a date night movie, but along the lines of a Passion of the Christ, where it's a hard topic, but maybe one worth taking in.
Yes.
This might be the same thing. Surprise you here, but President Trump was tweeting today. You don't pick yourself up off the floor?
I'm surprised. He keeps to himself so much.
I know.
He kind of keeps his opinion to himself. I'm surprised he's putting himself out there.
Yeah. He's going after Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah. Well.
This is what he tweeted about
an hour ago. I'm sorry for you guys out there and gals who like motorcycles and specifically Harleys, but they deserve it. Go ahead.
This is what he tweeted. Harley Davidson should stay 100% in America with the people that got your success. I've done so much for you, and then this. Other companies are coming back where they belong. We won't forget, and neither will your customers of your now very happy competitors.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing.
And now this.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Look what you've done.
That makes these things difficult, okay? Now, I cheer the president's sentiments. What Harley has done, I mean, it's like Spalding or, you know, Wilson gloves or, you know, Spalding baseballs, you know, going and being produced in China. Maybe they already are. I don't know.
Yeah, be careful.
I hope not.
Check that.
But here's the difficult thing. When you have companies who, it's like movies, you know, for a long time, movie studios in this country were careful about some of the things, not a lot, but some of the things they put out. Because you didn't want to anger the American audience.
Right.
Okay? So you had to treat the military with respect, those kind of things.
If you wanted your movie to make money. Right.
But now because of overseas box offices like China and Europe and other places, you have more movie companies saying, well, we can make up what we lose here in America with what we get on foreign box office returns. And that's why, although I've never seen any of the G.I. Joe movies, they seem kind of silly to me, but they changed G.I. Joe from a great American hero to some international outfit ordered around by the United Nations and stuff.
Yeah.
And they did that because they said, we want this to sell overseas.
Well,
and
I
think what Harley is thinking is, well, so we upset Americans, we're going to make a bundle in Southeast Asia.
Well, right. Actually, Europe is their growing market, and they're moving some over there. But what?
Well, they have Thailand. But
their number one market I was reading is okay. In Europe right now. But if you notice, if you've been to the movies lately, a lot of studios are now owned by or have large investments from the Far East, so China and Japan, and so we're seeing an awful lot of stuff that we didn't necessarily see before. I'm noticing it creeping in the characters. Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? Just this kind of stuff.
And there's also some censorship going on too. Movies that they do not want to anger the Chinese audience. Over a billion people. And increasingly, because their economic situation is improving, you have more people going to the movies over there.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge market, you know. And so capitalists would say, well, that's how capitalism works. I'm not saying that, we should be socialists about our movies or our motorcycles, but at the same time, we can expect more of this from companies who just don't care what Americans think.
Well, again, it's a complicated issue about whether you – what you do. Steel tariffs have something to do with this and that and everything. But let's end with a good story.
Please bail us out.
Ivanka Trump, has a lot of her dad's money. Or she probably has some money of her own. She's got investments. Anyway, she donated $50,000 to the church in Texas, Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, because she read that Prestonwood was working to put families together or to help immigrant families, illegal immigrant families as well, that are having problems down at the border. And so she gave her own money, $50,000, to the church to help with those efforts.
I think that's a great thing. And listen, I'm going to speak for myself here. This doesn't represent AFA or, talk show hosts or whatever. Once you come as a Christian, once illegal immigrants are here, regardless of how they got here, you should show them the love of Jesus.
Right.
That's my personal opinion. So what Prestonwood Baptist is doing, I think that's a good thing.
Right.
And I'm glad that they...
And churches all across Texas and Arizona and other states are doing this.
This is the way the gospel says it should happen. The body of Christ is commanded to love the neighbor, not the government.
This is the prime example that you can be for law enforcement and be for loving those in need and caring for those in need. For example, you have folks who crossed our border illegally, adults and children. While they're here being processed through the legal system in a detention facility, they need food, they need water, they need clothing, etc. And that gives the church a prime opportunity to minister to those folks. It doesn't mean that they need to get let off the hook legally. It means that we're going to minister to them.
And it doesn't mean that the church is for open borders or that the church...
Right. No.
No.
Well, and I would say this. If Congress... Mostly the Democrats, but all of Congress, if they would get their act together and stop making this a political issue, they could clean up this mess on the border, you could lock it down, and we might be able to let more people in and give them lives where they don't have to live in a dark corner somewhere through legal efforts to make their lives better.
Yeah.
But we don't seem to be able to do that in Congress because they don't seem to be able to do anything in Congress. All right, folks. I realize I've been a grouch today.
Go eat your sandwich.
I'm going to go eat my soggy sandwich. And anyway, we've enjoyed having you listening. Thank you for listening to today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.